We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Budweiser's weekday sports beat continues on Sports Radio 960 AM WSBT. It is Wednesday, and that means Brian Driscoll time. You were just telling me off the air. You just drove back from Virginia after that trip to Virginia Tech and family and all that stuff yesterday, huh?
Yes, quite the adventure.
Oh my goodness. How long did that take? Did you drive it straight through for the most part?
Yeah, I did. It took about 13, 14 hours.
Hoot goodness. Man. Mm-hmm. That's crazy. Now you're all the way out on the Atlantic Ocean, basically, right?
Yeah, I was in Virginia Beach.
Okay. All right. Well, let's get to business here. There's only so much time here, but glad you made it back safely.
Thank you.
But okay, so we got the news of Brendan Clark entering the transfer portal yesterday. And you know, there's always when someone decides to transfer, there's, you know, should he stick it out? Should he leave? All that different kind of stuff. When you look at Brendan Clark, though, I mean, he's obviously coming off injury, but you also look at what's in front of him right now and next year as well. Is this just kind of a case of this is probably the best move for everyone concerned?
If he wasn't injured, I'd say no. I think in the case of Brendan, the reason I think his circumstance is a little bit different is clearly his future is not at Notre Dame.
Right.
No one's surprised by that. No one's surprised that he transferred. I think the timing of it is what was a little strange, especially after Brian Kelly, you know, made a point to bring him up in Monday's press conference,
right,
which tells me he was kind of – he knew this was coming and wanted to try to convince the kid to stay, which is fine. I mean, that's no problem with that. But I think – the fact that he has had the injuries he's had and he's trying to come back from that and he can't afford another one, I'd be nervous about being down there on the scout team every day, running around with the scout team O-line and, you know, having to avoid pressures. And, you know, I don't think scout team quarterbacks get hit, but, you know, it's not an easy business. And if I were in his shoes, I'd want to strongly consider, like, do I really want to put myself at risk to be a scout team quarterback and potentially put my own future in jeopardy?
Sure.
And that's just me. I don't know that to be the case, but that would be the reason I could see him making the decision to leave right in the middle of the season.
Well, and we've talked about him before. I mean, the fact that he missed all of the spring, so he missed out on his shot essentially here at Notre Dame. Like, if he was going to have a shot, he needed to be out there competing against those guys in the spring. But when you look at his future now, I mean, what do you think about Brendan Clark? He's got a nice arm. Could he start for like a, you know, a mid to lower tier power five? Is he a group of five? Like, what do you think his future could hold for him?
If I were him, I'd look at a group of five program. I think with his injuries and the fact that he is such a raw player, and he's a guy that has some ability, like you mentioned, he's got a big arm, and he was athletic prior to the injury. I don't know what that's going to look like coming back from it, but, you know, really good baseball player. He just needs a chance to play. And do I, if I were in his shoes, again, you know, trying to look at if I was his coach or his dad or older brother or whatever the case may be, and I was advising him, do you really want to go somewhere where you're going to have to battle against, you know, kids that they've already recruited and established relationships with, kids that they are recruiting who some may be sort of close enough in talent to you where they may decide to go with the kid that already knows the system or the younger kid or whatever the case may be. It's not about being afraid of competition. It's just about making a smart, essentially business decision about what place gives me the best opportunity to go play and play in a system that fits my skill set. So, I mean, look, we've seen MAC quarterbacks get drafted in the first round. We've seen a kid from North Dakota State go, what, number three overall in the draft last year. If your goal is to play at the next level, they're going to find you no matter where you are.
Right.
But right now, his goal needs to be to just play. You don't know. The odds of him playing in the National Football League are slim at this point in time. He needs to go play football, and this is his last chance to do that. He needs to find a place where they're going to look at him and say, wow, we got a kid like Brandon Clark? Oh, man. And then a place that obviously is going to be able to coach him up and build an offense around him.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Brian Driscoll from IrishBreakdown.com. So, Saturday night, of course, Notre Dame, USC, Jack Cohn's going to start. So, I guess the question is, with these slow starts that Jack Cohn and the offense have had, how do you get that kick-started with Jack Cohn starting out there?
Stop doing what you've been doing. I mean, I'm not trying to be flippant, but like it's like every game they just kind of do the same thing, hoping that it would be different this time, which is not a good idea. You know, look, this is what they need to realize is even if you take the two-minute drives away, right? So Brian Kelly talked about, he responded, which I thought was a very good question from Tyler James about, you know, looking at what Jack Cohn does well. And he kind of poo-pooed the two-minute nature and teams have been chasing Tyler Buchner around and all those kind of things, which I thought was not a great answer. But just take what he did against Florida State. Go watch the first series against Florida State. You know, Notre Dame was pushing the tempo a little bit. They were snapping the ball between like 18 and 22 seconds left on the play clock. They get to a 4th-and-1 on that first series. They have a tight end in the game, a running back in the game, and all five options release on a route. So empty, free release, everybody out, and, you know, create some confusion with Florida State. He bangs a touchdown pass to Michael Mayer. You look at the third quarter when, you know, Florida State comes out at the beginning of the third quarter. They go right down the field and score a touchdown. Well, after the game, when you and I talked, we praised Notre Dame for coming right back, pushing the tempo, taking shots down the field, getting the ball out quick, and they went right down the field and scored. And they kept that pressure up in the third quarter, and Jack Cohn goes 8 of 8 for 164 yards and three touchdown passes. So it's not just then. It's the second half against Purdue. You look at what he does well and build your offense around it. It's what I've been saying for a while, Sean, is stop trying to force what you want to be onto your personnel and realize who you are and build around that.
Yeah.
And if they do that, they're going to take off.
I agree. Well, are you surprised at all that it's going to be Cohn's, you know, because he still said that Buckner's going to be out there somewhere. Are you surprised it's Cohn starting and not the other way around?
No, Tyler Buckner's not ready to be the starting quarterback. Yeah. I mean, they have to be smart enough to see that. I mean, yes, he did great when he came off the bench, and there's not a lot of film of what that offense is going to look like, but he comes out in the second quarter, goes 5 of 8, 101 yards, and accounts for 2 touchdowns because he rushed for 1. That's phenomenal numbers. I mean, you put that over 4 quarters, that's, you know, that's 404 yards and 8 total touchdowns.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it was a great quarter. Well, then Virginia Tech gets a chance to regroup at halftime, make some adjustments, and he comes out in the third quarter, and they've adjusted to it. They're mixing up their looks and confusing a true freshman quarterback, and all of a sudden he goes 1 of 6 for 2 picks, and the only touchdown he threw in that half or that quarter was to Virginia Tech. He's not ready to be that guy yet. This is a kid that played 1 year of football in the last 3 years. That's it. He's incredibly talented. He has a tremendously bright future, but the future's not now, at least not this week. Maybe it is by November, but it's not right now. I would play him less, to be completely honest with you. I mean, you can't keep – what if Jack Cohn comes out, Sean, and first 3 series leads Notre Dame to 2 touchdowns and a field goal, and then you yank him?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, because, you know, that's your plan. Look, I have no problem starting Jack Cohn. I personally would start Jack Cohn. I would advocate for, like I said before, figure out what Jack Cohn does well. Because I would argue that the 3 or 4 most impressive stretches that we've seen of the offense this season – 3 of those were with Jack Cohn, a quarterback. When you look at the second half against Purdue, which has turned out to be a pretty darn good defense, it's in the top 10 in scoring defense. You look at what he did against Florida State, and then, you know, the fourth quarter against Virginia Tech. You could take, you know, a couple of those Tyler Buckner drives, but in regards to sustained success, this offense has been at its best when Jack Cohn's a quarterback. Now, it's also been at its worst when Jack Cohn's a quarterback. You have to figure out, how can we make those best moments more effective? And if they can do that, I still believe, if used correctly, Jack Cohn is the best quarterback for this football team in 2021.
When you look at this USC defense, it looks like one where Notre Dame's offense should be able to have some success against. What do you see when you've looked at them?
It's a very strange group. You know, you look at the secondary, and it's loaded with former top recruits, whether it's Chris Steele or Isaac Taylor Stewart or Isaiah Polamau or Greg Johnson or Chase, I mean, all top recruits. I believe Notre Dame offered all those guys. But they just don't play to that level. But then you say, well, you know, boy, that's a vintage USC talent group. They're just not playing to their potential. And that's true. Then you look at the front 7 and it's like, well, this isn't the same deal. This is just a group that, outside of Drake Jackson, who's a very talented edge rusher but banged up, this is not a very talented USC front 7. Of course, the counter argument to that is this hasn't been a very good Notre Dame offensive line this year.
Well, yeah.
Either.
Yeah.
And so, to me, it's a tremendous opportunity for the Notre Dame offensive line to really start building some momentum and gain some confidence. I mean, if you look at the numbers of the final 6 teams from a defensive standpoint, I mean, it is bad. I mean, it is a very soft schedule. And they've played 4 top 25 defenses in the first half of the season. They're not going to play a single top 60 defense in the second half of the season. And USC is a perfect example of that. Some good players here and there, but overall, not a very talented unit and not really good at stopping anything. As long as you execute and don't turn the ball over, something they're pretty decent at this year, you should have success moving the ball and putting the ball in the end zone.
When you mentioned Drake Jackson, the outside linebacker, they only have 10 sacks as a team. He has 3 of them. He was banged up against Utah. Dante Williams saying yesterday he's day-to-day. So, I mean, do they basically, you know, do they pretty much have to have Drake Jackson out there, do you think, to really have a chance?
If the Notre Dame offensive line plays like it did against Virginia Tech, yes. If it plays the way it did the first 5 games of the season, I don't think it matters.
Then all bets are off, yeah.
Right. I mean, just because you've seen an offensive line that's just fundamentally unsound, that they're just letting guys basically go untouched at times. Well, it doesn't require a potential first-round draft pick to make a sack when you're not blocked, right? So if he plays and he's good and he is a guy that, you know, is healthy enough to be at his best and Notre Dame plays like it has in previous games, it could be a problem. But if they play to their potential and play just assignment correct, again, I've never advocated for them to have to look like last year's line. Just don't be awful and just do your job and do it hard. That's it. That's all I ask. If they can do that, they're going to shut down this U.S. They're going to dominate this USC defensive line, even if Drake Jackson plays. Because in this situation, you can take him out of the game with a tight end, with a running back, with moving the pot. There are things you can do to take one guy up in your front 7 away. It's making sure those other guys who aren't nearly as good as him don't make plays because you're not executing, you're turning guys loose, you're not blocking the nose tackle or picking up the corner fire, things like that. As long as Notre Dame doesn't make mistakes, whether Drake Jackson plays or not, it shouldn't matter in the big picture total outcome of the game.
Now, the other Drake is Drake Johnson, and he is the even bigger gun, 6'5 wide receiver, 64 catches, 832 yards, which means he's averaging 10.5 catches and 138.5 yards per game. So how would you go about trying to slow him down?
You know, Sean, for me, when I think about defending Drake London, my first thought is just don't let him rip off the big plays.
London, sorry. Yes.
It's the nature of the offense. He's going to catch a lot of passes. You know, this is an air raid offense. I mean, when Graham Harrell, who went under – the offensive coordinator for USC's name is Graham Harrell. He played at Texas Tech.
Right.
He went undrafted despite having like 3 years in a row of over 4,000 yards, and I think he had two over 5,000. You know, they throw the ball a ton. You know, they've thrown the ball, I think, at least 42 times in all but one game this season, I believe. I'm looking at their numbers now just to make sure.
Now, part of that's because they've been behind most of the time, right?
Well, it's just who they are. I mean, even if you look at the Washington State game that they won 45-14, they threw the ball 48 times. I mean, it's an air raid offense. USC rushed for over like 90 yards last year. I mean, they just don't run it. You know, they're averaging like 128 this year, despite having two backs on their roster that have over 1,500 career rushing yards. They just don't run it. That's just not what Graham Harrell does, which I think is a mistake. But they're going to have to try to be balanced this year. They made that mistake early against Notre Dame in 2019, if you remember. They came out early and just tried to throw it all over the field, and they had a loaded group of wide receivers. I mean, Drake London was their fourth receiver that year. They had Michael Pittman and Tyler Vaughns and Amon-Ra St. Brown as well. They tried to throw it all over the field, and Notre Dame shut them down, had a 17-3 lead. Well, then they came out in the second half. They made some adjustments. They started running the ball, and all of a sudden that balance allowed USC to storm back. Hopefully, if you're a USC person, he's learned that lesson, and Notre Dame's going to have to be really good up front and make sure that they don't create balance. But when it comes to Drake London, you just have to prevent him from making the game-wrecking plays. You know, Brian Kelly talks about game wreckers a lot, right? And I think it's a great phrase because a team like USC, they're just not that good as a team. But they have a couple guys that, if they go off, can make this game a lot more competitive than it should be and possibly lead them to an upset victory. And Drake London's one of those guys. You can't let him, you know, catch a 6-yard pass and make guys miss and turn it into a 25-yard gain. You can't let him beat you down the field for 40-yard gains when you've got him back on a 3rd and 11. They're going to move him all over the field. But the good thing for Notre Dame is they've faced a guy like this already in – David Bell from Purdue.
Yeah, and they shut him down. Yeah,
right. Exactly. And when you look at David Bell, I mean, you look at what he did this weekend to Iowa, who has a great defense, and you look at the numbers he's put up this season, his numbers are very similar to Drake Jackson's. He's had at least 120 yards in every game he's played this season except for one. And that was against Notre Dame. Now, he caught 7 passes against Notre Dame, but they only went for 64 yards because what they did a great job of is when he caught the ball, he went down. It's a lot of quick throws and getting the ball out quick. If he catches it at 7 yards, tackle him at 7 yards. And then don't let him get those deep balls going. And the key to that is just dominate up front. If Keaton Slovis is getting rushed and pressured and hit in the face, he's not accurate. He rushes decisions and he'll turn the ball over. That's going to ultimately be the key to this game. But just don't let him make those game-wrecking plays at receiver.
Real quick, Brian, because you mentioned the fact that Notre Dame's not going to see a top 60 defense the rest of the way. How would you rank in order these last 6 opponents of the season?
Oh, as defenses or just as a whole?
Overall teams, yeah.
So I did this kind of last week, and of course they've played games since then, but Virginia to me is the best team that's left on the schedule.
Okay.
To me, you know, because they've got a really, really special quarterback, but I think I'd go Navy 6, I went Stanford 5, Georgia Tech 4, and then USC, North Carolina 3-2. I'd go with North Carolina 2 because I think North Carolina has more depth of playmakers and they have a more balanced offense. They're both pretty bad on defense. And so to me, and I think North Carolina's better quarterback. So I think North Carolina's, that team could just erupt for 59 points like they did to Virginia. I mean, Virginia's the number one team on my schedule. I just said they're 5-2. They're about to jump in the top 25. North Carolina beat them 59-39 because they went off that game. And, of course, a couple games later, they get blown out by Georgia Tech. But North Carolina is the one team that if they play their game, they're the most dangerous, but they're also pretty inconsistent, which is why I have them 2 behind Virginia.
Okay. Brian Driscoll from IrishBreakdown.com. Let us know real quick before we wrap it up what else is going on right now over there.
Well, we have a lot going on, obviously breaking down the game, looking at the midweek musings today, which I actually broke down the defenses and just put on paper just how bad it has been. We have our stacking up features. We'll have our, you know, keys to victory and matchup and all those types of articles. And then also 247 Sports came out with their updated rankings for the 2022 recruits. And Notre Dame has now, they had two guys jump in the top 247. They now have 13 of their 21 commits are ranked in the top 247, top 247, and 12 of them are ranked in the top 200.
Wow.
So it just shows how good that 2022 class is. I think five of them were top 100 recruits. So really, really just a loaded class, and 247 Sports. You know, Notre Dame fans say, oh, they're always dropping our recruits. Well, not this time. a lot of guys made huge jumps. I broke all that down on the front page of the site, too, so you can check that out.
All right. Sounds good. Brian Driscoll, IrishBreakdown.com. Get some sleep. Enjoy the game this weekend. I'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me on, Sean.
All right. Absolutely. Brian Driscoll, IrishBreakdown.com, the Sports Illustrated Notre Dame website.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.